Good morning. It's Friday, March 7th. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's early edition from KMUW News. How one faith community approaches the transgender debate.
Just as there is a spectrum of light and dark, because we have sunrises and sunsets, in the same way, I think that God's creation is broad enough and beautiful enough and wide enough to include variations of what we have understood as a gender binary.
That's coming up after the news. Sedgwick County election officials are counting the final batch of votes from last week's Wichita bond issue election, KMUW's Suzanne Perez reports.
The Wichita School District is seeking a $450 million bond issue to finance new schools and other upgrades. Unofficial results show the bond failing by just under 300 votes, about half of 1%. But Sedgwick County commissioners, acting as the Board of Canvassers, approved 535 provisional ballots to be added to the totals. These include ballots from voters who requested a mail ballot but then decided to vote in person, or those who went to the wrong polling place. More than 100 provisional ballots were rejected because they were received late or because voters were not registered properly. Final results will be reported at 3 p.m. Friday. For KMUW News, I'm Suzanne Perez.
A Kansas bill would let voters decide if they want to raise property taxes to fund local services. State lawmakers have suggested reviving the so-called property tax lid that last existed in 2021. It would require local governments to hold an election before they can raise property taxes past the rate of inflation. Eric Stafford testified in support of the bill for the Kansas Chamber of Commerce, a powerful pro-business lobbying group. He says it gives taxpayers more representation.
Giving people the vote and the ability to determine whether and how much they want to be taxed, we believe is good.
The right-leaning think tank The Tax Foundation criticized the policy, saying it places too high a burden on local governments. Daylight saving time returns to Kansas this weekend. On Sunday, clocks will spring forward an hour at 2 a.m. The move adds more daylight into the evening hours. Arizona and Hawaii are the only states that don't observe the change in time, along with five American territories. In 2022, the Sunshine Protection Act to make daylight saving time permanent was unanimously approved by the U.S. Senate, but it was never voted on in the House. Daylight saving time ends on Sunday, November 2nd, when the clocks fall back an hour. An historic church in Lawrence will get much-needed help from the National Trust's African American Cultural Heritage Action Fund, Julie Denishay reports.
9th Street Missionary Baptist Church is one of 30 churches in the U.S. awarded a grant this month as part of an effort to preserve buildings that are important to Black history. Formerly enslaved people founded the church 162 years ago. Senior pastor Eric Galbraith says it's been a beacon for the Black community ever since.
It was a place of hope, a place of encouragement where Blacks could come and they could see Black excellence. They could come together and support one another, but also encourage the next generation.
The first stage of the $600,000 grant will create a plan to address needed repairs. I'm Julie Denishay.
A committee that helped lead the recovery process following a 2022 tornado that hit Butler and Sedgwick counties has concluded its work. The long-term recovery committee was formed weeks after the tornado struck in April of 2022. It included elected officials, business leaders, and emergency management personnel. The committee also helped distribute nearly $1 million donated to a United Way of the Plains Disaster Relief Fund. More than 1,500 people received money to replace belongings lost in the storm or to cover other costs not paid for through insurance. A Missouri man who was shot at the Chiefs' Super Bowl parade and rally last year has sued the Kansas City Sports Commission, saying it was a preventable mass shooting, Peggy Lowe reports.
In a lawsuit filed this week, James Lemons says he was shot and his family endangered by the commission's failure to bar firearms and provide a safe environment at the rally at Union Station. The 40-year-old Lemons was shot in the thigh. The suit says the commission's negligence exposed fans to a, quote, unacceptable and foreseeable risk of harm. 24 people were injured and one woman was killed during the shootings on February 14, 2024. A commission spokesman said they are aware of the lawsuit and disagree with its claims. I'm Peggy Lowe.
Caring Hands Humane Society in Newton is holding a Clear the Shelter event through Saturday. The shelter hopes to find animals there a home while creating room for new animals. All cats and large dogs are pick your price. Puppies 6 months and under are $100. The shelter says people who are interested should fill out an adoption form ahead of time or contact staff to set up a meet and greet with an animal. More information is on the Caring Hands Humane Society Facebook page. We'll be back after this. This week on You're Saying It Wrong.
They said the first is good grammar, the second is good judgment. And I actually really like how that sounds.
We're getting fancy, although you might say we're getting a little bit stuffy. That's this week on You're Saying It Wrong from KMUW Studios. I'm Fletcher Powell, and this is Wichita's Early Edition. Last month, Kansas lawmakers passed a bill banning gender-affirming care for minors. It's the latest in a series of laws restricting the rights of transgender Kansans. Statewide and nationally, debates over transgender rights and inclusion are also playing out in faith communities. As Rose Conlin reports, that includes a church in Winfield.
On a recent Sunday morning, around 100 worshipers gathered for service at Grace United Methodist Church in Winfield. At the pulpit was Pastor Charles McKenzie.
Gracious God, may the words that are coming out of my mouth and the meditations that are shared by all of our hearts.
McKenzie, a lifelong Republican, grew up in a Protestant church that taught homosexuality and gender diversity went against Christian teachings. He says that prompted a crisis of faith. He thinks all humans are made in the image of God.
Just as there is a spectrum of light and dark, because we have sunrises and sunsets in the same way, I think that God's creation is broad enough and beautiful enough and wide enough to include variations of what we have understood as a gender binary.
Earlier this year, McKenzie testified against legislation that bans puberty blockers, hormone therapy, and other treatment for trans kids. In a packed legislative committee room, Bible in hand, he rose and read from the book of Micah.
What does the Lord require you, human, but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly? And as I read the literature of this bill, I see in it something that is terribly unkind.
Not everyone agrees. Lucretia Nold with the Kansas Catholic Conference says the Catholic Church urges compassion for all people. Still, the church supports the ban on gender-affirming care because, in the words of Pope Francis,
it destroys at its roots God's most basic plan for human beings, diversity, distinction. It would make everything homogenous, neutral. It is an attack on difference, on the creativity of God, and on men and women.
SB 63 became law last month when Republican lawmakers overrode a veto by Democratic Governor Laura Kelly. Back at Grace United, McKenzie's office is decorated with rainbow flags. A banner behind his desk says, "You are loved." He says his perspective is shaped by being a parent to a gender-fluid teenager.
The experience of parenthood should lean us towards empathy. My children have, in many ways, made me a much better version of who I am than I would have been without them.
His child, Cambria, is 17 and uses they-them pronouns. They say they're grateful for faith leaders like their dad, who stick up for the queer community.
It can sometimes be scary to get up and go to school because there will always be people who are not happy with who you are. But Grace has just really always been one place where I know I can wear what I like, I can be who I want to be.
Cambria says the new law will not erase them and other gender-fluid teens.
We're still here. We're not disappearing. Everything that's going on is scary for us because a lot of us are just kids.
I'm Rose Conlin.
Thanks for listening to Wichita's Early Edition. This week's contributors were Meg Britton Mellish, Daniel Cottle, Rose Conlin, Rachel Kramer, Julie Deneche, Beth Golay, Celia Hack, Jacinda Hall, Mia Hennen, Celia Yopis Jepson, Peggy Lowe, Jim Meadows, Kaylin Moore, Frank Morris, Suzanne Perez, Beck Shackelford Wonganga, Tom Shine, Noah Taborda, Becky Tanner, and Sam Zeff. Our producers were Haley Krausen, Beth Golay, and Luann Stevens. Carly Cooper is our digital editor, and Torin Anderson composed our theme music. Have a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday. For KMUW News, I'm Fletcher Powell.
Wichita's Early Edition is part of the NPR Podcast Network.
Each morning, it's a new opportunity, a chance to start fresh. Up First from NPR makes each morning an opportunity to learn and to understand. Choose to join the world every morning with Up First, a podcast that hands you everything going on across the globe and down the street, all in 15 minutes or less. Start your day informed and anew with Up First by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts.